Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Valerie Parker with the Soul of a Woman Foundation, and I'd like to personally invite you to join me for my 7th annual 2-day retreat for men and women, September 13th and 14th at the beautiful Fort Lauderdale Marriott on the beach. Yes, we are walking in purpose, and I brought some friends along. I have a fashion show with Styles Our Way and Opportune Events, speakers Alan McDougall, Danielle Knox, Dee Thompson, Dr. Clarence Granite, and entertainer Melba Spears. We have a signature rap session. It won't be complete without our 70s party. You may register at www.fromthesoulofawoman.com or call us at 954-724-0900. I'll see you there.
Well, good evening, and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I have with me my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening.
I have also a special guest, Lyndia Grand. She's a motivational speaker, author, life coach. And we are going to talk about Obamacare tonight. Lyndia travels the world, and we've been friends for years, and she lives in Washington, D.C., and she's always in the know. She knows things that are going on in D.C. that we need to be up on, and I asked her to come and share with us something that I feel that is very important for individuals, and that is Obamacare. What does it mean? Lyndia, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Great to be here with you, Dr. Valerie, today, and Shirley. I'm so glad you all asked me to join you.
Well, yeah, you know, Obamacare, yeah, everybody's it's like Obamacare. I actually was at our chamber meeting this past Friday, and they were talking about Obamacare, and we had a facilitator, and then when they opened up the floor for Q&A, everything just got chaotic. And tempers started flaring, and it was just really unbelievable. And I said, wow, you know, people really need to be informed of what it is. Well, the individual said, what is Obamacare? Well, Obamacare is also known as health care reform. It is a national health care plan aimed at reforming the American health care system. Obamacare's main focus is on providing more Americans with access to affordable health care, improving the quality of health care, regulating the health insurance industry, and reducing spending in health care. Now, Lyndia, given what I just said about Obamacare, can you further, you know, explain what that would mean to we the people?
We'll be glad to. Well, the Obamacare, as we all know, is the unofficial name because the Republicans kept calling it Obamacare. And so one day President Obama decided to embrace that title because what's wrong with saying President Obama cares? So that now is the new title. But the official title is the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. And it was signed back in March 23rd, 2010. So we've had this bill in place a few years, and I'm sure you all have heard them on the news. Republicans keep threatening to get it up, to vote for it not to be no longer law. They're trying to get the Supreme Court to make sure it's no longer law. But here's it's one of the most important laws that have taken place since the Social Security, which took place way back after the Depression in the 1940s. Obamacare is a plan that help the 44 million Americans currently who are unable to get health insurance to be able to get insurance. And unfortunately, this law requires that you get insurance. According to the Obamacare facts, it says there are over 44 million Americans who currently are unable to get health insurance. And then one of the major things Obamacare does is to help these individuals get it. And what it's going to be is expanded Medicaid and Medicare. And it's going to offer a lower health care plan for these Americans. And it's going to, insurance has to be in place by March 34th. by 31st of 2014. Mm-hmm. Most Americans will have to have insurance. And I say most because there are always some extenuating circumstances. But most Americans will have to have insurance, and many will be eligible by this subsidized health insurance, which is only going to cost them between 0 to 9.5% of their taxable income. So if you make $500 and you only take home $300, then it's going to be a percentage of your taxable, well, it's going to be a percentage of whatever your taxable gross income is. And so that makes it much more affordable, and then everybody's going to have it. And so we want people to know that starting October the 1st, you'll be able to go online. It's called Health Insurance Marketplace. I've already been looking at it myself. I didn't realize that I was looking at it because my own insurance got canceled on August the 31st, and so now I'm in the marketplace for getting new insurance, and so I'm not sure if I want to get it yet until I finish reading about this. This is what helped me and Dr. Valerie get on it, so that I can find out if I have more advantages with the Obamacare getting ready to come in. I don't want nobody to take advantage of me by me getting my insurance in September when something good might happen October 1st. So I'm reading, and I hope those of you listening will pay attention so that beginning October 1st, you can go online and you can search. You can go to Obamacare Facts and check Health Insurance Marketplace Guide. And one of the places that I've been gone to that I was referred to is called eHealth Insurance. eHealth Insurance is a place that you can go, and it'll allow you to put in your name, your address, your age, and talk a little bit of a little application you'll do so that it can give you a shopping list of insurance companies and rates. It'll talk about the deductible. It could be a $10,000 deductible, $2,500, $5,000. It'll talk about whether the office visit is included or not. Some office visits might be a copay. Some might be, but it's all about how much you pay. And so the rates that they're showing right now are not based on income. It's based on what they can figure out from you filling out the application. Some of you may need to go and meet with someone so that you can get the best price, like to your human services offices. We're the same place where people go to get low-income health insurance or food stamp service. And that's why the Republicans don't want this to go through, because it's a way to help people who don't have a lot of money, who make less than $20,000 or who make less than $15,000. So now they can afford to be able to pay $30, $40, $50 a month or $20 or whatever it is. It might even be zero when they still get it. But this plan makes it so, just like everybody who works on jobs have to pay Social Security, everybody who's out here will have to have some type of insurance. And so that's the best I can explain from what I've been able to find so far.
Well, also, Linnea, one of the things you say, well, I just can't afford to pay. Well, the bottom line is if you pay taxes, you are going to pay, because the government is going to take that off.
They don't know.
Sure. Tax.
Yeah, they're going to, they, as long as you pay taxes, that's the key. If you got a job and you pay taxes, that means they know you have some kind of job, and they're basing your health insurance on that. So just like we go and get our nails done, and we go get our pedicures and manicures, and we go get our hair done, and we go to these fast food restaurants, we are going to have to build health care into our lives, into our budget. And the reason why Obamacare is so important is because so many Americans dying because they don't have health insurance and because they didn't know. This way, it's making us move health insurance up to the top of the ladder, because so many Americans won't be so overweight and they won't be unhealthy. I can give you my own story. Before I got health insurance last year, I had diabetes and didn't know it. I was walking around here without insurance, and I had gained weight. And so now, since I went to the doctor thankfully, I was only at the beginning stages of diabetes. And so my doctor was able to tell me, you don't need any insulin, you don't need any tablets, you don't need any shots. We're going to do this by lifestyle change, which is something Les Brown always talks about, lifestyle change. That's one of my messages. And what she meant was, we're going to change your diet, and we're going to make you exercise regular so you can lose weight and stop eating so much sweets and carbohydrates, because that's what brings on insulin deficiency. And I was really sad because my mother had lost both of her legs. She had diabetes and died from complications of diabetes. My mother had had kidney failure, had to have kidney dialysis, which is also part of having diabetes. And she had had all these strokes. It's also associated with having heart conditions, all of these things. And so I began to do research on it, and when my doctor told me, I already knew. So I was guilty by default. I knew better, but I just had not done better. But when I found out I had it, because my mother had lost her legs and had all these things and died from complications on Christmas Day in the year 2000, I bet you I got straightened out. And Dr. Parker, I came home that same day and started throwing out food. I know the Lord please have to forgive me because I should have given it away. But I threw out, I hadn't even read yet. I just started throwing out boxes of Raisin Bran, oodles of noodles. I think the Raisin Bran were okay, but I threw them out anyway. I threw out oodles of noodles. All I wanted to keep in my house was vegetables and fruit. And whatever I didn't have, I knew I was going to have to go and get it. So basically, I had to, my doctor told me to take a class, but I didn't take a class. I began to go online. Like you said, everything you want to know is online. I began to read on the NIH website what a diabetic should eat and shouldn't eat. And long story short, I began to do it, eating a lot of raw vegetables and salads and a lot of fresh fruits and not eating those sweets. My doctor said don't eat grapes and don't eat pineapple because there's too much sugar in it. Your body already, your blood got too much sugar running around in your blood. So I stopped. And so after I started to do what I was supposed to do, I started losing weight. Every week, every month, I went back every 2 weeks. The first year, I had me coming every 2 weeks, and I always had weight loss. And, well, except for Thanksgiving, the very first visit, I said, well, I said, Dr. Vermery, it was Thanksgiving. Why do you think I've gained 1 pound? Everybody's going to eat for Thanksgiving. She said, don't tell me about Thanksgiving. This is your health. And she scolded me and got me straight. I bet you I didn't gain any for Christmas, and I bet you I didn't gain any for New Year's. And every time I went back, every time, it ranged from 1 pound all the way up to 7 pounds. And I'm so thankful to tell you all right now, I have lost 45 pounds since then.
Wow.
Looking good, Dr. Allen. Looking good, feeling good. I got all kind of energy again. I couldn't hardly walk 10 minutes at first. Now I can walk an hour. I feel like I have too much energy. I'm 62 years old, and I was telling my son I got to begin to go out and do more things because I feel so much better, and I don't like sitting around the house like I used to. So I wanted to say to you all, it's important to have health insurance because it'll help put us on the right track, and people really need to take care of themselves better so they won't have to have amputations and they won't have to have strokes and heart attacks and all of these things. Listen, I just saw somebody on TV on the doctors the other day saying 90 to 95% of what's wrong with all of us can be controlled by diet and exercise. So,
ladies and gentlemen,
it's good to have insurance, but you need to hear what I'm telling you. Diet and exercise is one of our biggest problems. Don't be sitting around being as fat as your couch and continuing to eat. And I don't care if I'm hurting your feelings because it needs to be said because I was doing it. We have to stop it. So that's my testimony.
Well, a beautiful testimony.
Yes, it did.
I'm thankful. And then just let me close by saying my blood sugar went from 7.5 in 90 days down to 6.2. And if there's any diabetics listening, they know what I'm talking about. And I pray that the next time I get checked, it'll be in the 5 range. And the doctor says she wants me to go into the 4 range, which is, you know, I'm already non-diabetic. She said, you don't have diabetes anymore. You're in the pre-diabetes now. So I don't even have it anymore.
Lyndia, on the Obamacare, what actually does it do to individuals who already have health insurance?
Well, for those who already have health insurance, they can check out finding out how they can do an exchange program. So that you can look into what is considered low and middle income. There's a way for you to do an exchange, and you can go online and find out how that works so that you can see if you're paying the lowest amount you need. See, because what we have to remember is everything that was already in place is going to be obsolete when this Obamacare kicks in. Everything is a different way now. You can pay less than what you used to pay. It's based on income. So you might have been paying so much more. You could have been paying what somebody who make a lot more money should have been paying. So you should reevaluate what you're paying and what you should pay based on your income.
But then for those people that are employed or are employers that are listening, it was discussed in the meeting regarding Obamacare that the employers will get discounts for offering insurance incentives to their employees.
Yes.
That they'll actually get some help. And one of the other pitfalls is what's going to happen is that employers who have full-time employees, it is a must. It is imperative that they offer or have health insurance for all their employees. If they do not, they will be penalized. So the downside of that is that those employers who have full-time employees, they will more than likely cut their time back to part-time to avoid paying extra money if incentive isn't big enough.
Yeah, that's what a lot of them are unfortunately talking about because they act like they can't afford to do it. And that's what's been so much talk with the Republicans because of these people that's making $200,000, $250,000 small businesses, they don't feel like because they're not making $1 million. They've been used to paying employees a certain amount. They don't want to give them that full insurance. But what they need to realize is that there are different rates it can be, and it's not going to necessarily be as high as what they may think in their mind. If they're not paying the employee that much money anyway, then they need to learn that and understand that there are smaller rates that their staff can have but still have it coverage. And that's where the key is. People have to begin to. It's so new that people are going to have to really study. I saw on TV the other day where there's thousands of new employees being trained right now so that they can help America understand because it's so such a big deal, and it's so much getting ready to happen different than it ever has, and because everybody's going to have insurance. Everybody. We're not going to be a country where people just walking around without insurance anymore. Everybody's going to have it. That's what Obamacare is saying. So, therefore, people are in place, learning, just like we did a quick read. They're learning all the facts, just like when you go to H&R Block. They have to go to training to learn what the new laws are in order to do your taxes every year. Well, when you go to these agencies or go online and somebody calls you, these people are going to have to understand how Obamacare works. And come January 1st, 2014, that's when things are going to go into effect. I'm telling you right now, come January 2014. So we have right now between October 1 and first of the year, we better start learning all we can about it. And if you are listening to us tonight and you don't have insurance, you need to start reading up about it and finding out how you can get some insurance. And if you own a small business, you need to stop complaining about I don't want to do it and realize that you're going to have to do it and go ahead and try to find out what the lowest rate is that your staff would have to pay and get those plans in place.
Yeah. But unfortunately, it's going to be where a lot of people are going to lose income because the employer don't want to pay that money out.
Yeah, some people are going to lose jobs. Some people are going to lose jobs, but there are some who won't understand. They're emotional. They're believing what they're hearing in the news, and they're going to just lay people off, unfortunately. That's the sad part. Some of that is going to happen.
Well, I don't understand what the big deal is about offering insurance to everyone, because countries like Canada, everybody has health insurance. There's no one that's not able to get medical attention. In London, everybody has health care.
Dr. Parker, all it is they don't want to take money out of their own pocket. Because if a millionaire was taking home X number of thousands of dollars a year, his may go down a little bit. It may go down by a thousand or two. And even though that's not going to hurt him, people don't want to give up any money. And even if it's not coming out of his pocket, he got to redo his budget somewhere in his company to find a way to cut the budget so he can add health insurance in. And they don't want to do that because it's all about selfishness. Companies don't want to tighten their belt. You and I know what a budget is. A budget is something you can reallocate funds. Am I right? All you got to do is change the budget. You can change the budget. Even if you've been buying some expensive cleaning items, you can buy something less. They got something else besides Clorox. Clorox costs more than those no-name bleachers. It's ways to cut the budget, and you still can get the same services taken care of. So that's what people will have to learn to do, is tighten their belt and say, okay, my employees matter. Because if they stay healthy, my company will be able to run longer and I won't have to get new employees because they're not sick. We have to begin to take, it's a public relations matter. People need to understand how valuable people are. And right now, America is busy selling fast food. They got all these roll-up chickens out here instead of organic chickens, and it's not about them caring about your health. That's why more people die from cancer, because you're eating hormone chicken and hormone beef, and you're eating beef and chicken and stuff with cancer in it because nobody cares. Why? Because they may make a baby chick into a full-grown chicken in a matter of weeks or a couple of months when it should take much longer. Only because it's about money. Everything is about money and not about people. If you look at the March on Washington photograph, and if you just take a good look at the people in the audience that were marching, everybody looked so cute. The ladies looked so petite. Everybody looked so good. You know why? Because they wasn't eating hormone food back in the 60s. Everybody ate good, clean, healthy food. Now, if you look at some pictures of the next March on Washington, you're going to see a different size crowd. And some of the ones that a lot bigger didn't even go because they couldn't. But everybody looks different because we're eating poorly and don't realize it. And even especially in the black community, it's worse meat. Sometimes I found out right in Washington, they may take the outdated meat from a white Safeway in downtown where the Congress people eat and change the tags on it and put it in another black neighborhood. And you don't know that the meat was already outdated. You just bought it because of some of this meat department people told me that at Safeway. So I'm just reminding people, care about what it is you put in your body and also reevaluate this health care situation. It is so vitally important.
Wow. Yes, it is. And I wanted to add something, you know, that our listeners need to, you know, if they don't know but can research on it, is that with the expansion of Medicaid in your state, and there's so many states that are not participating in the expansion, because of the ruling from the Supreme Court on the Obamacare health care reform plan, it allowed states to opt out and without losing any of their federal funding. So there are states that opt out and they're not going to lose their federal funding for Medicaid, but those same states will not extend Medicaid to a lot of their people that are in their states. So that's going to leave millions of people who may go without health insurance. And as it stands now, there's like 14 states that are not participating in the Medicaid expansion, which comes under the health care reform plan. And
so how is that going to work? How is that going to happen, though, if everybody has to have it?
Okay, but see, that's what the plan was, that everyone has to have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of the reform covered Medicaid reform. But because of the ruling from the Supreme Court, when the Republicans wanted to reform the medical bill, that portion, the Supreme Court decided that states have the right to opt out of the Medicaid portion of it and not lose their federal funding, because in the reform bill, it was set up, if you don't expand Medicaid, then you would lose your federal funding for Medicaid, for your Medicaid patients, you know, people in your state. But the Supreme Court ruled that that was unconstitutional, that the state had a right to opt out of the Medicaid expansion program, which is the portion
then maybe these people will be exempt, because I'm looking at this fact sheet, and it says Obamacare requires that all Americans have health insurance either through a private provider or through a state or federal assisted program. If you don't have insurance, must pay a tax equal to 1% of your income in 2014 and 2.5% in 2016. So you're going to have to pay a fee like when you do your taxes and you owe taxes.
Right. But that's still true. Lydia, that's still true. Everyone must have insurance. But what it has set up for the poorest people, in your state, that's why they have the Medicaid expansion. So if you were someone that, A, didn't have a job, or B, you were working at fast food or something, making minimum wages, and can't afford to pay for the health insurance because you got to have it, then the state had a right to do the Medicaid expansion, which would offer health insurance to those people who couldn't afford to buy their own. But there's 14 states so far that have opted out to not expand their Medicaid to those people, which leaves those people in a position where they have to purchase their health insurance themselves.
Can you tell us what state?
Oh, yes, I can tell you what state. These are the states that are not participating in the Medicaid expansion: Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Iowa, Louisiana, Maine, Mississippi, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, and Wisconsin. That's 14 states now, but there are still three states that are leaning towards not participating, which is Alaska, Nebraska, and Wyoming.
Can these people still on their own get on the internet though and do like go to this e-health insurance, but I understand what you're saying. The e-health insurance still has a fee, but this Medicaid expansion is for those people who really don't have money, and they will get it without having to pay.
Correct.
So that's a problem, and I don't know what they can do.
Right. That is so true, because their states are all Republican governors and have opted out. And basically what they're saying is that they don't care about the poorest people in their state.
Mm-hmm.
That they're going to have to figure out a way to come up with money to cover their insurance, because the plan calls for every single person to have health insurance.
Wow, it's going to end up being some things that have to be dealt with. I'm going to tell you that right now, because if the Supreme Court passed that, then they have a right to do it. But for me, it makes me go back to when the President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, and then you had these states that still didn't let the slaves go free, and that's how you ended up having Juneteenth. Because although it was over January 1st, it was around in the middle of June when they finally let them go. So just because something is law doesn't mean it's going to happen. So
that's
the problem.
Yes. And one of the things about it is that these states, and Florida is one and Colorado is the other one, they felt that a 3% increase of spending, it was too much to cover their poorest people with health insurance. But actually, we have the same issue here in Michigan. The Republicans here did not want, in the House and also in the Senate, did not want to expand the Medicaid program. We have a Republican governor, but he did the math. And he actually figured it out and said, actually, it's going to save the state money by adopting that Medicaid expansion plan. Because when he starts putting together the number of people that ends up in the emergency rooms and all these other places,
you'll have health
with no insurance. Yeah. So he said, wait a minute. We are spending more money writing off things and paying the hospitals for uninsured people. Mm-hmm. By expanding the Medicaid program, the state is actually going to be saving money.
So I think it's going to end up switching. But see, what's going to happen is the rest of the country is going to be doing this, and then you'll be able to have something to measure. You know what I'm saying? So it's unfortunate that it has to be this way, because that's why America had a civil war, because you always got somebody against the other group, you know? Fighting against the system. That's America. It's hard to get everybody on the same page. And so, and they fought against the Social Security as well, but it took a while, but eventually it came together. And I'm just praying, and I hope everybody will join in, that this Obamacare is going to take some fights and it's going to be some battle, but people will begin to understand the impact it has on our country and how we will become a healthier nation. And I pray that some of these states might can vote out some of these governors who don't want to participate and get rid of them. You know, make a switch. Because let me just say, everybody that voted for President Obama wasn't black people. Because if we only were the ones that voted for him, he would have never got elected. It's got to be a whole bunch of other people that voted for him. So the same way they voted for President Obama, they can vote these Republicans out. So
that's
all I can say is in time it will change.
That is so true. I mean, and then there's been studies that have been done about expanded Medicaid long before this came in, before this act became law. New York, Arizona, and Maine expanded Medicaid between 2000 and 2005. And Harvard did a study on it. And the rates of the uninsured resident dropped, access to care improved, and more people reported being in very good or excellent health because of that expansion. The coverage, you know, actually saved, they estimated it saved like 2,800 people a year in each one of those states.
I'm telling you, look at me. And the doctor didn't give me no serious medicine. It's just what she was a doctor. And she explained to me what I needed to do. So other people could have that same thing happen. Here I am healthier now, and because I had insurance. And so I just know it's going to really make a difference in a lot of people's lives. And I'm sorry that we got this civil war mentality. That's the only way I know they describe it, where you got some fighting against what's been voted and put in place.
Right.
That's
a
civil war mentality. The Republicans against the Democrats, just like the Union was against the Confederates, the Confederates against the Union. So it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah. Like they say, the more things change, the more things stay the same.
Stay the same.
Always the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that one of the things that was flaring up for individuals there regarding the insurance is they were concerned about the taxes. Well, the money's got to come from somewhere. And the bottom line is we all do need to have some type of coverage or some type of insurance. Unfortunately, you know, our incomes don't measure up. But if we keep working as a people and stick together, go to the polls, vote, get these people out of office that don't respect
exactly
what we are and who we are.
And you need to understand, listeners,
we got it sold.
Let me just say, it's more white people that are poor and in poverty than it is black. And the only reason I say that is because it's more whites in this country than it is black. So if you look at the statistics, there are more whites on welfare than black, but they may make it sound like the black ones are. Go look it up if you don't believe me. Look it up. There are a lot more numbers of white people on food stamps and welfare than black, only because there are many more. We only 12% of the country. So how can we have the largest number? We don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that our percentage is higher than their percentage. You understand what I'm saying? But it's going to be some other people suffer, other races. It's not going to just be blacks that suffer because of it. Trust me, it's going to be all people that suffer. It's like Reverend Jesse Jackson, the Rainbow Coalition. They're going to all suffer across the board. If you don't make enough money, it's not going to matter about your color. You're going to be the ones in trouble.
Right.
And prayerfully,
yes,
you won't be in one of those states that Shirley just spoke about.
I'm in one.
So,
I live here in Florida.
She did say Florida. I was so praying she didn't say Maryland. Thank the Lord she didn't say Maryland.
No.
That's how I knew about it and said it needed to be, because I said by the time we finished with the networking meeting at the chamber, it wound up being kind of like a fight, a verbal fight, because
mm-hmm.
folks were upset about it and stuff. But the bottom line is you can't get it upset now. Go vote. You got to vote.
Yeah, they
got to
go
right.
vote. They
got
to vote. So that's right. That's how you change it. Because it's like Shirley said, it's the state with the Republican governors. I will bet you there's not one state that's a Democrat, is
it? No, it's not. Not one.
No, you think so? Yeah, no, I know what it is. The Tea Party kind of people. That's who it is.
And
I hate to say it.
Thus far, there's only 5 Republican governors participating in the program. And I have to say Michigan is one. Our governor is participating. He's Republican, but he's participating.
Yeah,
and,
your governor
you know,
seems pretty good.
Yeah, he did the math. He said, you know, but this man has never been in politics before, and he got voted in as the governor of our state. He was a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I did the math. Any way you slice and dice it, I did the math, and it saves money by participating in the program.
Uh-huh.
Oh, his constituents, they were very upset with him. They stalled. They sit out. You know, they did not want to pass it. And so he fought with them. And, you know, he had some long meetings with them, and he was like, look, you guys, he said, this is how it's going to be. Nobody goes home until you decide either pass or not. And they sit in there for 3 days, and he would not let them go home, and they end up passing it.
Well, that's why I say in time, some of these states are going to change, because people are going to vote the people out, and that even those that stay in. Remember George Wallace many years ago, how horrible he was?
Oh, yeah.
Then over the years, how he changed, and he was genuinely
yeah.
changed.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. He really sincerely changed. So even the worst diehard Republicans can change over time. This is going to take some time. It really is.
Yeah.
And we're only at the beginning. October 1 is the beginning of the change.
Yeah.
And that's why President Obama's out here going all over the place now trying to get it going. Because the more we get it going, the more everybody cannot stop it. Because, you know, it's all these threats about we're going to turn it over, we're going to stop Obamacare. Well, they wanted to stop Social Security.
But now Social Security is a blessing. I'm so glad I get my Social Security retirement check because it's been in effect now for so many years. But can you imagine how everybody felt that was brand new? It was new, and it affected all the people. And anytime you're doing something new that affects all of the people, it's going to be a problem for some of them. Because you just don't, we're not like over there in Great Britain where we got a king and a queen and we got to do what they say in the parliament. It's not like that over here. So everybody thinks they got a right.
Lindy, were you there at the march?
Oh, yeah. I participated in coordination for D.C. But, you know, D.C. Is not a state. And we don't have a governor, unfortunately. All we have is a city. And we have a mayor, and we have 13 city council members, and that's it. We got a congresswoman, Eleanor Holmes Norton, but she can't even vote on Capitol Hill. She can't even vote because we're not a state, and we have no senators. And so D.C. pays more taxes than three states. I can't remember exactly. I think it's Wyoming and Vermont and Rhode Island. I'm not sure about the states because I'm not looking at the brochure. But there are three states that are states that have less citizens and pay less taxes than D.C. D.C. has over 600,000 citizens, and they've paid so many billions of dollars every year in taxes to the federal government. Yet Congress has to approve our budget. We're not like you and Shirley and everybody in the state. We are, D.C. is a city. I'm saying we because although I live in Maryland, I do most of my work in D.C. And I know all of the politics in D.C. So, yes, I work with the mayor of D.C. appointed former D.C. council member who was a civil rights leader to serve as the coordinator, the chairman for District of Columbia March on Washington. What we had to do was coordinate as many citizens as we could in the District of Columbia to go to the mall and go to the D.C. War Memorial. There's a memorial on the mall that was founded in 1940 called the D.C. War Memorial, which pays tribute to all the soldiers who fought in World War II, which includes men like my father. It's a memorial to the D.C. soldiers who fought in World War II. So the mayor decided, since it's on the mall, and since Reverend Al Sharpton and Martin Luther King III and all of them, the King family and all of them were having a march on the mall at the Lincoln Memorial and the King Memorial, we want to come, but we want to have a pre-rally because, you know, what happens at the march was people fighting for all kind of rights, Trayvon Martin, people fighting about gay and lesbian issues. They were fighting about this tax, this health bill. It just was everything. So our mayor decided we wanted to focus on a single issue, D.C. statehood, and for us to get as many people out as we could. So we were delighted to get thousands of people out, and the mayor and a lot of city council members and Roland Martin and other people from National TV News had a lot of coverage. And I was the coordinator for the D.C. rally, which gave me the opportunity to also work with the national office because Reverend Al Sharpton's people also came down to the African-American Civil War Museum. I had to coordinate the faith community, a lot of churches. We had the media out and had to coordinate labor unions. They had to coordinate civil rights groups, all the same groups that participated in the march 50 years ago. I had to coordinate them. And when Reverend Al Sharpton's group found out we were over there rolling like that, they joined in with us. That's over there. So they canceled their press conference with the faith community and came and joined in with ours. And so Reverend Al Sharpton, chairman of the board from New York, came down here and came to the Civil War Museum and participated in our press conference. So I just thank and praise God that I was able to coordinate that. It gave me a new lease on life. I feel so good. And before when I was weak and sick, I didn't feel like doing that. This is what I used to do when I was in my 30s. So now I'm just telling you all back to health insurance. You can continue to live. I'm only 62 years. I plan to keep on working now for a long time. So that's how
when I met you, you were doing this.
rolling. I wasn't fit back in the day. Now I'm back, look, slim and trim and looking good again. And able to work.
All right, though. You know, it's something, Lydia, how we take for granted our health and thinking we're going to keep on going, you know.
And I had to make a lifestyle change because my doctor said, I'm not giving you no insulin. I'm not giving you no shot. You're going to do this on your own. And you know what? That was the best thing she could have done for me because, see, now, even if I don't go to a doctor, I still can help myself because I know what to eat now. You see what I'm saying? Because anytime I've been eating that good from November, that's a lot of months. November, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. I've been doing this now almost 9 months. So
wow.
I can't stop now. I can't stop now. I already know that when I went to the store today, I bought a bag of sugar-free mints instead of mints with sugar in them. I know what I have to have now if I decide I want something sweet. I know I have to buy stevia sugar or Truvia. I don't like those pink packs or the yellow packs. My doctor said Truvia and stevia. Those are natural sugars that don't have chemicals. So, but anyway, you all, if you're listening to me, more important than health insurance is what you buy at the grocery store and what you put in your mouth to eat. And exercise. Now, that's one big part of the key. I want you to know that's one big part.
Well, I thought that's a health tip that people sitting or listening and saying, you know, she's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to do something about it.
And I get almost embarrassed when I go to church on Sunday because Sunday I had to go up and announce about Women's Day. And so many people hugged me and said, you look so good. And you know what? I wasn't thinking about it because it's been so long now, and I guess I'm steady losing every week. And but they keep saying it, and I'm feeling normal, but they still talk about how good I look. And I say to myself, girl, you must have been looking pretty bad because I talk about how good you look now. My hair's growing. It was thinning out in the top, Valerie. Now it's thick, full, back in the top like it. Girl, you can't tell me nothing.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, good health helps your nails, it helps your hair, it helps your skin, it helps every organ in your body, and I hope I'm trying to get through to somebody out there. It helps every organ in your body function better when you eat right and exercise. I got up this morning when my sister-in-law told me how I made a speech and a lot of senior citizens were there. She said, girl, they still talking about that speech that you made about 4 months ago. Every time I talk to somebody, and you know what I did? I got up out of the bed and walked to the CVS to get my prescription because I hadn't been out. And I said, let me just get up right now while I'm talking to her and practice what I preach because you can't just talk about it. You got to do it. Can't nobody else walk for you but you. Can't nobody control what goes in your mouth for you but you. You're the only one can change your lifestyle by stop eating all them French fries and all that ice cream and all that candy. I used to buy 3 and 4 candy bars because I couldn't decide which one. That's why my blood was full of sugar. So, you know, I know better now. I don't eat any candy bars. I haven't had a candy bar since November. Not one. So we just have to know when to stop. So that's my message on health care for today.
Well done. Thank you so much for sharing that information. So what else is going on with you? You know, have a talk show there in D.C. You want to share that with him?
Oh, yeah. I had Reverend Joel King on my show the week of the March. He's Dr. Martin Luther King's first cousin, and he's going to come to our church. He's in Columbus, Ohio, and he's the head of the Ministerial Alliance in Ohio, and he's just as bad as Dr. Martin Luther King up there in Ohio. He'd be riding with the police making sure they don't do what they did to Trayvon Martin. He makes sure they don't pick on our young black guys. He's a chaplain at the police. He's a minister, but he also is a chaplain at the police department. So he rides around in the police car. And then he also fights for a lot of rights for people in the Ohio area. So he's coming down to speak at our church, but we had him on the show to talk about Dr. Martin Luther King and his life and his impact and how he influenced him, and it was a very good show. I got copies of that tape. And then this week coming up, I'm going to have Paula Brown, who used to be on Fame, the TV movie Fame. She's got a dance school, but she was working under Debbie Allen, and she was a Alvin Ailey dancer. And I'm mm-hmm. telling you, when we had the closing reception at the Civil War Museum the day of the march, afterwards we fed about 500 people like they were down in the country eating fried fish and collard greens. I didn't eat all that stuff, but that's what Councilmember Smith wanted the people to have. And inside we had a stage, and Debbie and Paula Brown's dancers performed. They did a tribute to Trayvon Martin. All the girls were ballerinas, and they did this beautiful dance like they were angels and like they were in heaven. And all these little boys were saying, "I am Trayvon Martin. I am Trayvon Martin. I am Trayvon Martin." It
wow.
was so touching. And they all had on hoodies. But then afterwards, all the other boys disappeared, and one little boy stayed. And then all the girls had these thin kind of tops on, and they were like angels. And they had the baby Trayvon with them, and it was reflective of Trayvon being in heaven. I'm telling you, it was so
oh,
good.
Wow.
So I'm having Debbie, I'm having the lady that runs that stage, that school, on my show this Friday, and we're honoring her at my church. So I'm just grateful that she wants to be a guest on my radio show this Friday.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing. I had Reverend Jesse Jackson, and I had a lot of good guests over the last year.
So could you give some information on how individuals can keep up with you and know what you're doing and there in the D.C. area?
They can go to my website, which is www.lyndiagrant.com, LYNDIAGRANT.com, and they can go. They can email me at lyndiagrant@gmail.com, and they can listen to my show anywhere in the world by going to www.myspiritdc.com, myspiritdc.com. And it's on WYCB 1340 AM, the Radio 1 station. And I'm on every Friday at 6 p.m. and hoping to expand in about a year. I want to go on for a while with 30 minutes, but I'm going to try to get to an hour soon, because it's always hard for us to get through the 30 minutes, because I have a political analyst every week. Her name is Adrienne Washington. She wrote for the Washington Times for about 20-some years, and so she comes on every week at the end of the show about the last 5 minutes to talk about politics, and we've been talking about Obamacare, and we've been talking about the war in Syria. She's trying to help me understand about that, and so, and then we talked about the march for weeks, and so people can tune in to the show. We talk about health on there. Every week we usually have something on there about health. And there's so many people. I've dedicated the segment to my mother. It's called Fanning the Flame, Stop Fanning the Flame. And it's mostly about diabetes, but we also have people on there talking about HIV/AIDS, because D.C. was one of the highest in the country with HIV/AIDS. We are trying to get people on there to talk about how many Black men we got in prison, because I'm upset about that. And I got this lady named Michelle Alexander, who wrote this book called, I can't think of the name of her book right now, but she wrote a book about how it's a disservice that so many Blacks get locked up for marijuana.
Right,
and
right.
Small
I forgot the name of it too.
Compared to the new Jim Crow is the name of it.
Right,
And it's her way of saying it's another form of slavery by locking our men up now. But yet, out of 100 men, 90 Black men might get locked up and only 10 white men for the same thing. That's
right,
how big the
proportion
is. And so that they just, and she talks about how prison is a business, because if you close the prisons and the Black men are not in jail, it's too many big contracts that people will lose. And they put them in the prisons in states where a lot of wealthy white people live, and they count those prisoners as citizens of the state. And, you know, your budget is based on how many people are in your state. And those people are not really citizens. I mean, they're in jail. But it's a way for them to get more services, better services. So she talks all about how all of that matters. And she talks about how if you're in the jail, you're not allowed to vote.
You can't vote, right.
If you don't have a job, you can't even, you can't get food stamps. You can't go be in the project. And then who want to hire you because you got a record? She talked about all of that. So I'm trying to get her on my show because
refer her to me so she can be on Hot Topics from the show.
I've been asking, but she's been so booked. I'm going to keep asking until she finally does.
Okay.
Because we can have a radio show. We got to impact lives of people, make a difference.
Exactly. We're reaching hearts and empowering lives. We're getting ready to wrap up another Hot Topics from the Soul, and I want to thank you, Lydia Grant, for joining me on the show and sharing about Obamacare, what it means to us, and those of you that have just joined in or didn't catch the whole thing, you can replay it. And also Google. The website is so full of information. And make sure that when there's town hall meetings and rallies and stuff going on, that you participate. Don't sit on the sidelines, you know, giving your opinion and speaking out in your house where nobody hears you. Go where your voice can be heard. Go to the polls, vote. Go to the town hall meetings. Go to your local meetings in your community where you have mayor meetings and commissioners. Find out who the commissioners are serving in your residence and inquire them. Get to know them so they can't fight for you if you're not saying anything. And knowing that each city is given money based on how many people are in their community. So here again, we miss out when we're silent. I want to thank you all for joining me, and visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Soul Retreat is this Friday and Saturday. If you haven't registered, be sure to register. Shirley's coming in to Fort Lauderdale tomorrow, and we're getting ready to just have a ball. Got Les Brown, Joe Attitude, the headline for the retreat.
I'm glad when I get someone here.
I know,
you're gonna
Lydia.
You're going to have to help me get there one of these years.
Yeah, I've been doing it
you
for
know,
7 years.
I like to travel,
years.
Too.
Yes, indeed. We've got to have you there, and I want to thank you once again for joining us, and y'all look forward to hearing from you all next week on another Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night, and God bless.
All right.
Good night.